Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Radio Gore Press. I'm Sarah. Joining me, as ever, is my partner in crime, Phil.
Hello.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm good.
I am good.
How are you?
Awesome. I'm exceptional. So as promised, we're a little bit late.
Yeah.
But as promised, we are covering The Host this time. I think this was your choice? Or was it mine?
I think it kind of came out of the ether, I think. Or was it Twitter that suggested
plucked
it?
Plucked from the ether. No, I don't think this was a suggestion. I think it was one of us. I don't know.
Who knows?
I think it's the first one we've
formed in our minds.
Yeah, collectively. I think it's the first one we've done that I hadn't seen and that you have.
Mm.
So that might lend an interesting dynamic to this show. Who knows? We struggled a little bit with a top five. I always call it a top five, but it's not really a top five.
Five of note.
Yeah. We struggled. Well, we decided, you know, keep it topical as usual. Do a five of note on Korean cinema, Korean horror. But we struggled a little bit, didn't we?
Maybe to find we could do five, but not five.
Not that we've both seen. Yeah.
So it's hard to have a discussion.
I was surprised by how many. Because I couldn't think of. I could think of two off the top of my head.
Two good ones.
Three, including The Host. But outside of that. Like, but then obviously you showed me a massive list and was like, oh no, I recognise a lot of these titles. But we decided to open it up to the more vague Asian horror. So three Korean films, two not Korean films on our list. So have it. I think Phil's going to take the lead during most of this show because this is
we'll see how
like,
that goes.
Like Asian cinema as a whole is more of your forte.
I suppose it's been a while since I've kind of watched any, but yeah, I think you're probably right.
Just blag it.
Yeah,
it's no, he watches them all the time.
Just constantly watching Asian cinema.
Expert, absolutely expert. So yeah,
should I kick us off?
Do it.
I'm gonna go Tale of Two Sisters.
Of course you are.
I love that film so much. Oh, it's amazing. There's actually a couple of films on this one, on this list, even two in fact. I don't know whether it's perhaps a Korean sensibility, but there's a lot of or whether it's just happens to be the case. I don't know enough about Korean cinema to actually
go spit it out.
There's a sense of fairy tale.
Yeah.
Kind of very fairy tale vibe to, because we're going to talk about Hansel and Gretel as well, spoilers.
Oh god. Giving
but
it
with
away.
Tale of Two Sisters, it's all based on a kind of Korean folktale.
Yeah, yeah.
These two sisters who return home after a stint in a psychiatric hospital, and and spooky things happen at their house. But I love that film. I love that film so much. I think it's just the music's perfect. It's poignant. It's beautiful. It's dark. It's scary. It's
tragic. It's
tragic.
Really sad.
I just adore it so much.
You're very emphatic.
I am.
Every time we talk about this film, you're always very emphatic.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, would you, like, I would guess that this is probably on your top 10 of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I reckon so.
Cool. So that's high praise indeed.
High praise indeed.
Would you give it a 10 out of 10? Would this be like perfect?
I don't know what I have given it. I've given it a review.
Oh, yeah. Let me check.
Oh. I don't think I gave it a 10. I want to say 9 or 9.5.
You would have definitely been really
generous. Would have been really,
because
it's just so emotional, and that's what I...
Drum roll.
I'm nervous.
Ooh.
Ooh. Am I wrong? 8.
Ooh. 8.5.
8.5. Ooh. Half a point
you
out.
Can
still
you can go back in time. Well, you can't go back in time
up.
You can't time travel, but feel free to edit that if you wish. We can edit this bit out so nobody will ever know. Just give it a 10
job
and
done.
Then get rid of this.
So I think I'll give it a 10 if
perfect.
No, I think yeah, I'd stick with that, maybe a 9.
Would you?
But
okay,
I think the acting is fantastic, the music's fantastic, the cinematography is beautiful.
Speaking of the
all
acting,
good things. Yes.
Kind of segue into Hansel and Gretel as well, since you've already taken us there a little bit. Both very fairy tale, both have very young children in the primary roles, or very, very important roles, and they're amazing. amazing.
They are fantastic, aren't they?
Are Korean children just better actors than their Western counterparts? The thing is, in Hansel and Gretel particularly, they friggin' blew me away.
Yeah, I remember being so emphatic and so high. I've just praised that Hansel and Gretel so much, and yet when it came to thinking about Korean films, it totally slipped my mind.
Yeah.
Maybe because I don't have it on DVD, but yeah, it would definitely be definitely on that list. Definitely agree with that choice.
Yeah, I can't remember what we were talking about. I think it was, it may have been a show that we did back when we did the Gore Cast.
I think so.
That actually made us watch that, because I'd owned it for a while and had seen it many years ago. And I think you brought to my attention, I think it was a Total Film article about 10 adult fairy tales.
Yeah,
that
it
you
was
might
just
not
Hard Candy was on there.
Company of Wolves.
Company of Wolves. I think Tale of Two Sisters would
have been. Tale.
Yeah. It's that Norwegian.
Yeah,
Danish,
yeah. And Hansel and Gretel was on there, and I suddenly thought, shit, that film's amazing. I haven't seen that in about 5 years. What is wrong with me? Phil will love this film.
And I did.
Yeah, lo and behold. Predictable. There's a lot of parallels to be drawn between those two films, I think. Mm. But at the same time, they're very different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Beasts.
Yeah, there's a definite clear kind of similarity. And like I said, I don't know if it's perhaps a running theme in Korean cinema, or it's just two films that happen to share similarities, but
yeah, it's quite interesting though. They're girls.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm
surprised.
Them.
Speaking of, Neil on Twitter brought this up the other day. I'm surprised Ink wasn't on that list, because that to me is a modern adult fairy tale.
Yeah.
Big time. Like that really fits nicely into that.
Look it up.
Category.
It was Empire, not Total Film.
Oh, was it Empire?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple that I hadn't seen. There was lots of foreign films, actually, if I remember rightly. And it was a really great list, because it made me rewatch Company of Wolves. I hadn't seen that in a long time.
And lo and behold,
we did a podcast on it, yeah. It has a lot to answer for, this stupid article.
You finished your drink?
Oh, I've got to make time for gin. Hansel and Gretel, Tale of Two Sisters... definitely belong on, we've discussed, it's not a top five, but they would be on a top
five.
Five
films of note.
If I did a Korean top five, it would be those two. And
something else.
That's it. Because I can't remember. Maybe The Host.
Old Boy.
Sympathy for
Lady Vengeance.
Speaking of Old Boy, go on. Talk about Old Boy for a bit.
It's also on our five. It's a good film.
It is a good film. Have you seen the remake?
No,
yet?
I haven't.
No, me either.
Not sure I can bring myself to.
No, me either. I was just about to say that.
Yeah,
because
I think it's just so
me.
Iconic. And it's one of those things I feel like I've kind of taint it. Kind of like, you know, casting Vince Vaughn in Psycho.
Oh, God. The less
good.
Said about that, the better.
Yeah,
that makes me really unhappy.
But it was it's so iconic, and, you know, so kind of well acted and so kind of well scripted.
Not
that it's
in need of a
remake. No, it's just a bit. I think we're deviating slightly, but
deviate away. We make the rules. Remember,
this is true. It's been a while since I've seen Old Boy. Actually, kind of in the mood for rewatching it now. But,
maybe we could do a show on that at some point.
Maybe
in the near future.
But
I wouldn't mind covering
that,
actually.
Sisters first, yeah.
Yeah, but we can't do a top five Korean films before each of those.
That's very true.
We're going to have to come up with something a bit more original.
We'll
just make it a Korean film-only podcast from here on out. We might be limiting ourselves somewhat.
One way to increase our knowledge on the genre, I suppose.
We'll just carve out a niche.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what to be said about Old Boy. I mean, it's some pretty brutal scenes in that.
Very, very much so.
Pretty brutal.
See, that's another thing in Korean cinema. It's another sort of theme that I see recurring. There are some really sort of unflinchingly grim... Well, just in Asian cinema on the whole, to be honest.
You think about...
Off the top of my head, I can probably think of a lot of Asian films that have seriously skeeved me out and made me wince.
Go for it.
Well, no. Like, we were talking about...
Itchy the Killer.
Yeah, we talked about Itchy the Killer. Oh, God. Even thinking about it now.
Which bit?
The tongue, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
God. It's just one of those things, like fingernails and... Mm. Yeah, no, I hate
Not
that.
Good.
Achilles
Not
tendons.
Good.
I'm sure everybody listening already knows my aversion to anything to do with Achilles tendons. God. No. Talk about something else I'm going to hide inside.
What's the next film? Next film on our list.
Battle Royale. Yeah. Everyone's seen Battle Royale. What can we say that hasn't already been said?
It's kind of been brought into the mainstream recently, like the Hunger Games. Because there's so much criticism about...
Yeah. They're two very different films.
See, that's what I always think. And, I mean, it's... I don't know.
I can see why... There was that immediate comparison when The Hunger Games came out.
Mm.
I can see where that came from. And I kind of bought into it. I knew very little about the books.
Okay.
But when I heard about the synopsis of the film, of The Hunger Games,
very,
I was like, holy shit, that's a rip-off. And then I watched it and it was like, oh, this is balls.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I hate this film.
You don't like The Hunger Games, do you?
I really don't. Do you?
Well, I read the book, so I think that might kind of temper my...
Yeah,
of
everyone that I've spoken to, the people that have read the books tend to like that appreciate the film a lot more.
It's understandable. I think the reason I actually prefer The Hunger Games.
Are you serious? Am I being punked?
No, I think there's a lot more depth to.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe I do need to read the book because I thought the film was the most vapid, awful, garish.
Well, I think
bullshit film.
Well, I mean, obviously it is very like the whole aesthetically it's garish, but I think Hunger Games draws up the idea of media manipulation of events. It draws up kind of you empathise more with the characters. I found with Battle Royale it was very much kind of.
No. I wouldn't know. I hated them all.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
okay,
Right. I'm assuming most people listening to this will have seen the first Hunger Games film at the very least. The bit where he goddamn camouflages himself as a rock or something. Explain that to me. In terms that I will understand.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Make it not shit.
No.
Make me appreciate that.
Well, there's a book. You might like to read it.
No, don't want to read it. Not after the film. But just... like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
I think she's awesome. So I wanted to like the film. But I couldn't... I thought the fact that it was just clearly aimed at an audience that was younger than me, I found inescapable. Mm. Like... They genetically engineered, and we've talked about this before, genetically engineered like the most badass wasps in the world.
Yeah.
And called them Tracker Jackers. What kind of lame ass name is that? Tracker Jackers.
Yeah, I know.
That sounds like a biscuit.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does. Oh, I fancy a Tracker Jacker. Not like, oh my god, the Tracker Jackers are coming.
I don't know.
And, yeah. The best part about The Hunger Games was the bad lip reading YouTube video that came after.
I want to watch that now. I'm trying to remember all the quotes and stuff.
He's not a real cat.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Battle Royale to me seemed more about the event. Like, just the event, and it was just, this is how people interact and this is what people do. Whereas Hunger Games is more, you're more anchored to... a specific character, and therefore there was more to it. I don't know.
I think my main critique of The Hunger Games was that obviously it took place in sort of this made up, this dystopian sort of
it's
sci-fi
kind of future America, I think.
Yeah, but like this sci-fi futuristic kind of world. And it required way too much suspension of disbelief. Like, it didn't seem rooted in reality at all. She would have died 17 times over.
Yeah.
Like, it required too much suspension of disbelief to, like, she... And the abandonment of science. Like, she shoots the thing and, like, an apple bounces off a landmine and...
Oh, yeah.
Like, Is it? Are they make us familiar with landmines and how they work? If that was the case, there'd be a lot more people with missing limbs in the world.
This is very true.
But it was things like that. Like, yes, it's the future, but it was this abandonment of common sense that really pulled me out of it. Which I think the things that you disliked about Battle Royale were the things that I did like about it.
Okay.
It was harsher. It was more violent. Mm. It was a snapshot. I liked the fact that it was just this accepted thing, and we were lumped in with this group of kids, you know, and it had happened before, and it would happen again. And
okay,
like,
and it's got Keshi Katana.
Yeah, always good. So yeah, like, no question in my mind. Battle Royale. Like,
maybe I need to rewatch it.
Greater than sign the Hunger Games,
or read the anime, the manga.
Yeah, have you seen any of the Battle Royale sequels? I haven't.
No.
I've heard they were pretty terrible, so I always avoided them.
What's the sequel called? Battle Royale
2.
Kind of asking for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little
bit. I thought it had a subtitle, like Requiem.
I think you're right. I'm going to check that.
Oblivion, or that might actually be Requiem, come to think of it.
No, it's Battle Royale 2.
Oh, is it? Could have swore it had
it's Requiem, you're right. Yeah. Is there more than one? Have I imagined a Battle Royale 3? I think I did. Yeah, there is, doesn't exist. Ignore me. Making it up. So that brings
there
us
is,
to...
There is, it's set in America and it's called Hunger Games.
Oh, fuck you. Not cool, Pip. Not cool.
Shall we move on?
Yeah. The fifth and final title, which I did a podcast on.
Oh, yeah?
With Mr. Carruthers back in the day.
Back in the day.
Going back a few years now. It's The Eye. The original, obviously. Not the Jessica Alba shitstorm. Do you know what? I haven't actually seen that. I'm just dissing it on remake blindness. You have, and?
A long time ago. Probably terrible. There was a creepy scene in an elevator, but I think that was probably in the original as well.
Yeah. Definitely sort of ghosty thing appearing behind. Yeah, no, that's what I loved about that, though. There were so many memorable... just making up words. There were so many memorable moments in it. The people in the cars. I'll never get that image of, like, all the burned people in the cars. Because they, you know, when they bring their hands up and... I think it's called pugilist position.
Okay.
Like, when people are burnt alive, basically their the tendons and the muscles contract and bring their arms up.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that, just seeing that sort of en masse was kind of super sinister. Creepy. Yeah. But it was a really, really cool, like, there were so many cool visuals in it.
No, the one that stuck with me was the elevator, the guy in the elevator just facing the corner.
Yeah,
can you imagine just being stuck in an elevator?
Oh, God.
And you know he's behind you and you could have moved. Not good.
See, that's quite interesting because I can think of sort of two films off the top of my head that are set in lifts and they both sucked.
Is Devil?
Devil and Blackout.
Okay.
With Littlefinger in.
Really?
Yeah. He was a baddie. yes, I'm seen, seven. I say baddie.
I'm not sure I've
he
seen
was
anything
a real
with him
meanie.
In, apart from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I remember watching Queer as Folk.
Okay.
I was too young to be watching Queer as Folk. I think I was about 16. Yeah, him and Littlefinger ploughing jacks from Sons of Anarchy is a lasting image. It was really weird. Like, now, wow. Thinking back, that's hella weird. It was a good show at the time. But considering that there's so much scope for scary films, like, lifts are tiny, they're really claustrophobic, there's no escape. Why hasn't somebody done... Can you think of a decent lift film? This is where I get proved wrong. There haven't been any, and there
have
been like seven.
Specifically sought out films that are set in lifts. I don't know.
I might have to look into that.
Let's make one. Go Press Productions.
Add it to the list. Jesus. We can do a Kickstarter.
We should do a Kickstarter.
We should. Let's do one for Hookers versus Triffids first. We need to get that funded. Let's just pitch that to Charles Band. He'd love that shit. Get full moon money. So yeah, the eye.
VHS 2. There was a segment in that reminded me of the eye. When the guy had his artificial eye.
Oh yeah, I thought you were going to talk about lifts. I don't remember the lifts in VHS 2.
No,
that's
that segment in VHS 2.
That's the
when
first
the guy
one,
gets,
isn't
yeah,
it?
When the guy gets Adam his Wingard. Artificial eye and sees ghosts.
Yeah, and baddies.
Baddies.
Yeah, I remember the first time I watched that. It really shat me up.
Yeah?
It really creeped me out. I've seen that film 3 times now. I got a screener for it. And then... rewatched the screener again. And well, then saw it at Fright Fest. Okay. So that was like my 3rd viewing of it.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see it on the big screen, but obviously the surprises have gone by that point. But the first time I watched it, just on a, you know, relatively small home screen, shut me
up. It was really well done.
But then I watched it with really other well people done. And they were like, really? That's not scary. So shame. It made me feel like a bit of a pansy. But yeah, that really scared me. That was proper jumpy. I thought that was done super well.
Really enjoyed that one.
I might have to read up on that. I wonder if they took some inspiration from the eye. They must
have
done,
right? It was my first, like, thought when I watched it.
Yeah.
Because really, you know,
eye-based horror.
Eye-based horror, yeah. Eye transplants, sees ghosts. Yeah. It's kind of a fairly limited scope for horror.
Sorry, I'm just, like, I'm genuinely listening to you.
Okay.
But there's a listing for a Gears of War movie
really?
On IMDb, and now I'm really excited. I was playing Gears of War at the weekend. Oh my god! I was literally saying to Jamie, "Why isn't there a Gears of War film yet?" Someone read my mind. It happened since the weekend. Oh, amazing. Anyway,
on that note, shall we?
Let's take a break.
Temporarily wrap up.
And then talk about The Host.
Yeah.
And Gears of War. But mostly The Host.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, quick break, and then we'll be right back. And we're back to talk about 2006 is The Host.
We are.
Not 2013's The Host, which Netflix tried to confuse me with.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't actually seen it.
Okay.
But I believe it's another one. It's a bit Twilight-y. I think it's a Stephanie Meyer book.
I think you are correct.
Yeah. But apparently it was even worse than Twilight, because that one had zero success.
That's saying something.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it one day and it'll prove me wrong, but I doubt it. In the meantime...
Apparently Saoirse Ronan's in it.
In The Host, yeah. Which makes all sense to anyone
I say,
here.
For context, we were talking about her in our break.
We were fantasising about...
Easy.
Well, speak for yourself. We were fantasising about ideal cast and director if... there ever was an American McKee's Alice movie, which there probably won't be, because I think Sarah Michelle Gellar might still own the rights to it, and there was a listing on IMDb for about 8 years that never got updated, and life's unfair. But yeah, she would be my Alice.
Okay.
And Del Toro would be the director, which fill you into the whole conversation.
And now back on track.
Yeah. The Host.
Not the one with Saoirse Ronan.
God. Yeah, we've established that. So, because I've never seen this, I'm going to hand over to you. Well, like I always do, pass the book for the synopsis anyway. I can never be asked.
Okay. Opens in a morgue.
Yeah.
Where Herschel is. That's Scott Wilson.
Scott Wilson, yeah.
From Walking Dead. He and his assistant are working, and they discover a whole... just a...
dusty bowls.
Immense amount of bottles of formaldehyde, which has gone off. Does it go off? Got old, got contaminated.
Well, I didn't really understand that. Like, I don't know. He was talking about them being dusty, and then they were no good.
Who knows?
And that seems a little bit extra.
So out-of-date formaldehyde.
Yeah.
And he gets his assistant to throw it down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Assistant is
silly.
Reluctant to, but buckles and does so. Meanwhile, in the local river where it gets dumped in.
Yep. Is it the Hand?
I think so. I was trying to frantically think of the name.
Yeah.
I think so. But some fishermen discover a mutated animal of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward. I mean, I found the time scale of that weird, but more on that later. Long story short, giant creature kidnaps kid. Family go on mission to rescue kid.
Yeah.
Is about the extent of it. It's a long story short.
That is about the long and short of it.
I felt like I focused a lot on the introduction.
You did. Mostly on Herschel. But,
came as a surprise because I hadn't, like, obviously the first time I watched it, Walking Dead wasn't out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He wasn't familiar to me.
That's
and now
true.
I know him as Herschel.
And from... no. Nothing.
Simple
Behind
thing.
The Mask.
Okay, of course, yeah. I was thinking of there's another one of the other guys. I thought you were referring to the other guy who was in Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
No.
But
how dare you not be able to read my mind?
I'm sorry. I'll try better next time.
You should. Work on that.
So that's the plot.
Yep.
What else is there to say?
Done, that's it. Show over.
What did you think of it? Well,
I don't really know. I'm going to formulate my thoughts throughout this podcast.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm going to give it out of 10 yet.
Okay.
I think I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure. That may change. So, in terms of, like, monster movies,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the monster is on screen for a decent amount of time.
It's certainly introduced very quickly.
Yes.
They don't beat about
yeah.
the bush with that.
And it's a really cool creation. It's not...
Mm.
It's not really similar to anything else I've seen lately.
No.
I think I read somewhere that the Weta Workshop did the the actual creature
okay.
design.
Yeah.
And then somebody else CGI'd it. But in terms the CGI was great. I
yes
hate CGI
no.
generally.
Yes and no. There are some scenes where
well,
it seems a bit.
It's a bit. It's more obvious than others.
Yeah.
You know I'm not a fan of CGI
I
at all.
Do.
But. In terms of something like this, I think it was used for the most part.
Okay.
And it doesn't strike me as a horror film that's supposed to be scary.
No.
So
no,
I think it really
right.
takes anything away
from
that.
Because
there's
no mystery about it. They just...
No.
It's like, here's the creature. Have some fun, you know.
Yeah. Like, maybe there's supposed to be some tension, but it's not. It's never supposed to be frightening.
No.
So I think that's forgivable. But yeah, certainly the creature design was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How many times have you seen this now? Just two?
Twice, I think, yeah.
Okay. And did your... Go on.
I was about to say, I ended up renting off of YouTube because I was convinced I had it on DVD but then couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, no! Again.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I don't know, though. Perhaps caught it on TV, which seemed unlikely or
maybe.
What, but...
Did your
way.
Opinion change from first viewing to second viewing?
It's a tricky one because I don't remember. Yeah, I don't because I don't remember having strong opinions either way.
Okay.
Like I don't remember. I didn't.
Do you have strong opinions now?
No, no, because like my opinion hasn't changed. I don't. I
okay.
Just, it's not. I mean, I guess we can talk more about opinions later, but
mm-hmm.
it was. I don't know. Not hugely in love with it, but it's not. I don't know.
Because I've heard really good things about it before watching it,
yeah.
and I think that. Affected
okay.
my viewing maybe a little bit. I had strategically avoided the IMDb forums.
That's really sensible.
Prior to viewing. Because they either just made me angry or turn me into the world's worst wannabe troll. I try and out-troll everybody else. I'm terrible. It's so much fun, though.
It isn't.
It's easy as well when you're sort of more intelligent than the average IMDb-er. It's quite easy to bait them. Anyway, tangent again. So, as somebody who's seen this film before, talk to me about the characters. The main guy is not exactly hugely sympathetic.
He's not, is he? He's a very lazy, very...
feckless arsehole.
Yeah. But then at the same time, I didn't particularly dislike him.
Mm.
I think all the characters were portrayed quite sympathetically. Maybe not at first.
Yeah.
But as the film went on, you gradually...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You did grow to like them all.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Even if they did start off quite...
He's introduced as something of an anti-hero, for sure.
Yeah, not very much so.
But yeah, you do grow to like him more as the film goes on.
Mm.
As with anything like that, the more you learn about the character, you're either going to love them or loathe them.
Yeah.
If you're kind of meh about them, then it's probably not doing its job, I guess. What did you think of, like, the familial bonds? Because obviously at the heart of the film is this little weird family unit.
Mm.
Like, you've got your main guy whose daughter is taken by the monster, kind of through his actions.
Yeah.
Kind of his fault.
Through his own incompetence.
Yeah. His dad and his brother and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Was it his sister?
I wasn't quite clear.
Little girl's aunt?
Yeah, I wasn't quite clear on the relationship.
It was definitely his brother, because she kept calling him uncle.
Yeah.
A really weird little disparate family unit.
Yeah.
And they're kind of hard to root for at first, because they seem very disconnected, a little bit disjointed. But I guess that's the point. And, you do sort of start to pull for them, even though... spoilers, the family unit kind of gets whittled down as time goes
by. Quite significantly.
Yeah. They as with the main character, I don't even know their names, Christ. I'm just the main character, the other guy, the little girl. What's he called? Oh no, I'm not even going to try and pronounce any of that. So the main guy.
Yeah, I was expecting that, to be honest. I was going to keep quiet and see what you did.
This main dude, yeah. But yeah, as with him, I wouldn't say learn to love them, but like them more. Or I did anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah. As time went on. No, same.
They're introduced as kind of this bickering family of useless
assholes. The brothers erupted into a fight in the middle of a...
That... Do you know what? Let's talk about that scene. It wasn't until that point that I realised there was supposed to be some quite overt humour in this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seemed quite misplaced.
Yeah.
And a bit inappropriate.
Yeah, I think that why it was never... I could never quite get a handle on it, because to me...
It's a bit all over the place.
Yeah, the comedy wasn't strong enough to... kind of make me think, oh, this is
to label it as a comedy
horror.
Yeah,
you know, and as such, it all seemed a bit jarring every now and again. Because when I mean, I looked stuff afterwards and I read, you know, on Wikipedia or whatever, the host is a 2006 comedy horror.
Yeah,
and it was like, okay,
that wasn't immediately apparent.
Okay, and maybe just everything went over my head, whatever. But
well, I think
it just didn't seem strong enough for me to...
This might make me sound really stupid and uneducated, I don't know, but I think maybe unless you're told outright, or unless it's slapstick and it's visual gags, some of it is going to get lost in translation.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's always the risk, isn't it?
You can't necessarily pick up on tone if you're reading what somebody's saying. I think maybe it would have been more obvious if we spoke Korean that it was supposed to be a comedy from the get-go. And I've got nothing against inappropriate humour. I'm all for black humour and, you
very
know...
Very much so, yeah.
Like, that, don't get me wrong, that really does do it for me, I suppose. But this fell a bit flat for me. That, like, again, with specific reference to that scene, there's kind of like a mass funeral for all the people that the monster has killed, which confused me a little bit as well. I wasn't sure of the time frame at that point.
Yeah, I felt like the whole first, because between two scenes, the monster was this tiny
thing
with three tails, and then this massive kind of cocoon of a creature in a hanging off a bridge. You know,
like, is that the same one? Is that its mum? Who knows?
Yeah, I know the feeling. I felt similarly about the whole first.
It threw me definitely. But in that scene, obviously, there's this mass funeral. The family are brought back together again. The uncle that they've mentioned and the aunt that they were watching on TV, mm-hmm. are all brought back together, and then start brawling and bawling simultaneously. And it's a really fucking weird scene that's really tonally unsure of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, again, maybe some of it was just lost in translation and we would appreciate it much more if we spoke the native tongue.
Yeah, which, you know, as I said, it's a risk of watching kind of subtitled films.
Yeah, definitely. But what was your impression of that scene in particular?
No, the same. It's there've been a couple of films recently where I've watched it, and if you're not aware of it being a comedy or horror comedy, then the funny bits seem really misplaced.
Yeah.
And you end up not liking it. I know we had a similar thing when we watched all those years ago when we did House.
Oh God.
We were like,
wasn't that like last year?
Oh, who knows? Last year, maybe.
Blocking
2 years
out
ago,
of your memory.
Whenever it was, we watched it and we're just like,
yeah.
What? And it was because the comedy wasn't quite
as overt as we're used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And consequently, it just seemed a bit unsteady, I guess.
Yeah, unsure of itself.
Yeah.
Tonally weird.
Yeah.
I mean, tonally weird could be an alternate title to this film, if you ask me. Also, right, okay. Speaking of, let's talk about the title.
Okay, The Host.
Yes. Is it? Yeah. The title in Korea, I think, is just Monster.
Monster, yeah.
Which makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But I've heard mention of people kind of discussing the meaning of the title, hidden meanings of The Host. Mm. What do you think it means?
Well, I mean...
What's hosted?
Mainly because it's, like, specifically mentioned within the film.
Mm-hmm.
They refer to it hosting a virus.
But there is no virus.
But there's contamination units.
Spoilers.
And, yeah.
That, because there was a lot of emphasis on this whole, oh, they're contaminated, they've been infected with this virus that's harboured by this monster, but there is no virus. That doesn't exist.
No.
I was a little bit confused, perhaps.
What about you? Did you draw any conclusions
about the title?
Yeah.
I didn't really think about it until I saw other people discussing it, if I'm completely honest. Yeah, I don't know if that was a misdirect. Or
could be.
Well, there's a lot of talk of like the political
message
of the film.
Well, it is a politically motivated film.
Yeah, as you said previously, quite heavy-handed in its message. Well, what was the reference that you came
up with? Agent Yellow.
Oh yeah, that was it.
Agent Yellow.
Yeah. So.
Mix it with its friend Agent Red.
Yeah. What do you get? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to really make
it's
of the political
film,
aspect.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was trying to do too much. Like, a lot happened in 2 hours, but I started to drift.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like,
well,
it's a long film.
Yeah. They kind
type.
Of have this weird, like, almost video game introduction. Not introduction, but like, They kind of get captured and they need to escape, but then to escape they need to go to this guy and get this, you know. It was very much like A to B, B to C, C to D, you know. And it was a bit kind of very linear in that fashion. Yeah. But then once they'll break out and they're free, you know, it's more kind of more filmic, I suppose.
But
I can't actually remember what point I was going to make. But yeah, that's 8 points. to be made. What were we talking about?
That was deep, man.
I know, right? You can tell I put a lot of thought into this film. Seriously, what were we talking about?
Do you know it's gone?
We're useless, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mwah, mwah.
I'm off my game today. I'm so full of hay fever. This is a struggle. My eyes are watering and I've gone all stuffy. Where? FML. Well, is there anything you particularly want to talk about before we sum up? Are there any points you want to make? You want to talk about the creature?
No, I like the creature. I think, like I said, the CG was a bit hit and miss. But the times when they were close up, it felt very tactile in a way. You know, there's a lot of...
Yeah.
You could see, you know, the texture of it, you could get a sense of it. It moved a bit funny now and again.
Yeah. I would say
speaking
probably...
Speaking from an animation standpoint, like being kind of trained in kind of that whole thing. Like, sometimes you felt
that's technical
bit,
talk, by the way.
Thing.
That whole thing.
I've got a master's in that whole thing.
You probably can get that now. Degrees in fucking anything.
But, no, like, it gets a bit floaty now and again. The particular scene that I actually rewound to rewatch it again was.
Rewound? You watched this on VHS?
Yeah.
What year is this?
Was when the I think the dad shot it. They're hiding in the trailer. The trailer gets buckled over.
Yeah.
They attack it. It starts running off. They chase it down. It's lying on the ground, like almost just like not doing anything. They take one last shot, and it kind of just floats up.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are a couple of moments like that when it. But actually, you know, it's. But they did, you know, show a lot of creativity in terms of the movement. You know, I certainly can't think of any film in which a creature kind of gets from one place to another by swinging.
I mean, how do you know how it would move? It's a fictional creature film.
But it's not something I've seen before, is my point, which is cool. Kind of swinging from tail to head or arms or whatever across on the underside of a bridge.
That was pretty cool. But to be honest...
I get very dizzy, though.
I think it's a solid film. I think there were some solid ideas in it, and the makers of it knew what they were setting out to do. But I think the creature design was probably one of the most well-rounded parts of it.
Yeah, definitely.
And certainly the most memorable bit for me, that's probably, like, the creature itself is probably what I'll take away from this film rather than the political message, say.
Yeah.
Or the weird humour.
Well, I think that's to be expected, though, because obviously...
it's not relevant to me.
Exactly. It sounds harsh, but, you know, kind of, it is a film that's motivated by events that happened in that area, you know, and if we're not kind of privy to those events,
it speaks volumes.
Less aware of them. Then...
Yeah, it speaks volumes by just the fact that it was so successful in South Korea.
Yeah.
And less so here.
I love the fact that it's really successful in North Korea as well. Because it comes across as anti-American, so North Korea went,
oh, really?
Well done. That was pretty good.
Fair play. Why not? That's quite cool.
Tickled me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Sorry. I just remembered. The bug-eyed American soldier.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
that was strange.
It was, wasn't it?
I mean, it threw me, just in the first scene with Scott Wilson, it kind of threw me that they had
English-speaking
characters.
Yeah,
well,
I kind of had to, like, hope that I hadn't accidentally bought a
dubbed
version of
the
thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. Yeah.
But thankfully it all worked out. But I should have looked this up, which, you know, implies it has American money behind it as well.
Oh, maybe.
Because there are a handful of American actors, and you know Scott Wilson isn't a name, you know, he's not exactly,
well, certainly now,
definitely now, but you know,
I mean, he's been around for a long time, obviously.
Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was American money, which would strike me as odd considering
studio was Showbox. I don't know where they're based.
I think they are Showbox Korean. Showbox are I've seen the logo a couple of times. I think it's an Asian. But I could be making it up.
It made quite a lot of money. Apparently the budget was $11 million. and it made about 90 million.
Wow.
So for a film like that, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you want to sum up? No, do you know what? I'll sum up first.
Go for it.
Because I've been formulating my thoughts all this time. In hindsight, I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
Yeah.
It left me scratching my head. It left me a bit confused in places. I think it tried to do too much.
Okay.
And there was a hell of a lot going on in that film. Yeah, there was a lot that happened. But at the same time, I think 2 hours was a bit over-egging it. I think that was too long. Like, they could have chopped a good 20 minutes out of that, I think.
Mm.
I think
that's what I was going to say.
Oh, go on.
I just felt it was really weirdly timed because they have this whole, like... I think that's... Because you said it dragged on.
Yeah, but it felt like stuff was happening all the time. Yeah,
I think what... The reason for that, perhaps, is because they set off on the monster hunt, like...
Yeah.
Early. Yeah, and you feel like it's building up to a climax and then it doesn't and then there's, you know...
Maybe that was their load a little bit too...
Sorry, you were saying.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, I think 2 hours was a little bit too long for me. And I think the weirdest part was just the humour. I think the humour felt really misplaced and inappropriate at times, but not in a good way. Yeah, it just didn't sit right with me. I can't really put my finger on what it was.
Yeah.
Like, there were some moments that were clearly quite humorous and there were some visual gags that were quite interesting. But at the heart of it was a really sad film.
Mm.
Like you were saying, you don't really give a shit about the characters to begin with, and the lead guy is definitely an anti-hero. But you start to feel for them as it goes on.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So ultimately, it's quite a tragic film.
Yeah.
Which just... tonally just seems all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, the humour could have been removed completely, and I think it would have been a better film for it. It is a horror tragicomedy. That's a mouthful. I just think it would have been a better film if you removed the humour.
Yeah.
I felt like it was trying to do too much. It should have just been a straight up monster movie with political undertones, and that would have been enough.
I mean, not necessarily a serious monster movie.
You can play it straight whilst also having humorous moments, but this felt a bit forced to me and a bit weird.
Mm.
So, with that in mind, like, it was well acted. You know, the CGI we talked about was a little bit dicey in places, but for the most part it was good, and the creature design was great.
Yeah.
And the creature was really memorable, and there were some really good set pieces, some good action pieces. Mm. But it felt like there was something missing to me.
Mm.
Or maybe there was too much. One of those.
Yeah.
So
too
with
much
that,
or not enough.
Yeah, with that in mind, I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 I think I'm inclined to agree.
On the 6 or the points that I made? Or both?
Kind of both.
Okay.
I mean, it's... Like you say, it just never seemed to find a confident tone.
Yeah. But at the same time, it seemed to really know what it wanted to do. It seemed very much at odds with itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why I'm struggling to formulate a particular opinion. Like, I didn't get bored. I enjoyed it. It entertained me. But at the same time...
It didn't make me laugh. I think that's the problem. Okay. The humorous points fell a bit flat to me.
Okay.
There was obvious humour, but it didn't make me laugh.
Yeah.
I think that's my problem. Okay. There we go.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
But yeah, like, despite the fact that everything was really quite good,
mm-hmm.
it just felt... inconsistent?
Inconsistent is a good word for that, I think.
I don't know, I don't like being this critical.
No, go
it,
for
I feel like it should...
We haven't been for ages.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like it should deserve more considering how much other people like it, and...
Oh, fuck it, we can disagree. Yeah,
this is true.
It's not a bad film.
Oh, no, I know.
By any stretch.
Yeah.
Slating it.
No, definitely not. And that's why I'd say, kind of wrapping it up.
It's a film with a lot of merit, but it's just not for me.
I'd probably give it like 6, 6.5.
Yeah.
Maybe a 7 to push. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking when I...
Do you know what we need to do?
After watching it. What do we need to do?
We need to watch a film that we really drastically disagree on.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done that yet. I need to pick something
film
that
debate.
You're going to hate and I'm going to love, and then we can like... duke it out verbally. Are you looking at my DVDs now?
I am.
Well, I'm obviously going to love all of those.
This is true. So I need to pick one that looks terrible.
Do you know what we should do? We should do Attack the Block and get Jamie on.
We both like Attack the Block. No
way, he fucking hates it. That'd be hilarious. No, I can't bear to hear him talk about that film anymore, actually. So we don't know what we're doing next show.
No.
In summation. That was a long-winded way of saying we are unprepared for next week.
So obviously, as always, if you've got any suggestions, we are at Radio Gorpress on Twitter. You can search Radio Gorpress on Facebook.
Yeah, you
find
can.
Us. Don't do Facebook/Radio Gorpress because I converted the page from Gorpress Gorecast, and I think it's still has the Gorpress Gorecast handle. So just search us. The email address is.
We're using mail@gorepress at the moment. So, That's the safe one.
Yeah, so if you've got any suggestions of what we could cover, anything you want to hear us talk about.
Twitter's the best bet.
Yeah, we usually check that pretty often.
Yeah.
Just go for it. Let us
suggestions
know.
Away. Something unlike anything we've covered so far would be ideal. Have we done a black and white film yet?
No.
Maybe that could be next time.
Nosferatu.
Oh, maybe.
I haven't seen Nosferatu.
Ooh. Put that on the... Shrek.
Max Shrek. Shrek. That would be a completely different film.
That would be a different podcast, sweetheart. Oh, God, let's start an animation podcast. What can we call it? We'll think on that. Oh no, I can't think of anything. We'll come up with something good. We'll come up with something.
It'll black and white.
Awesome.
Freaks.
I think so.
I know, right?
Fuck it, yeah. Because the first show we did was Freaked. So, like, come round to episode 10.
But let's do last.
I didn't say it was going to be our last.
It implies there's bookending. We're not bookending.
I might get really bored of you and quit.
We're
I might
a
rage quit
in the middle of our books.
So,
why would you do that?
Because I'm a maverick. Let's do Freaks, genuinely.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, God, it might be a long
Another
show.
Another agreement, though, considering how short a film it is, though.
It might be a long show.
Yeah, considering how short a film.
I could talk about that for a long time. We should Gormantry that motherfucker.
Bring that back from the dead.
Yeah. I'm nodding, by the way, for those of you that aren't here.
Silence. What else did Todd Browning do? Didn't he do Dracula as well? Or Frankenstein? One of those.
One of the famous
one
monsters.
Of those ones. Or Wolfman, or the creature from the Black Knight.
Or Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles. I think that's a bit too far.
I've talked enough. Right. Phil's on his phone again.
I'm looking at Todd Browning.
Todd Browning. He's in your phone. Oh, God. Hay Fever sent me Doolally.
Dracula.
I apologise profusely for the words that have come out of my mouth over the last 50 minutes. And we will leave you in peace, dear listeners. We are going to leave you with Sonic Boom 6 Virus.
Yeah.
And if you don't like dubstep, I apologise. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. It's like a virus. Change me the
evading their taxes while they're raising VAT for bailing out on the banks. It's like the kid that's smashing up the cash converter, the bonus for the bosses of the corporate merger, the way we call a quarantine for everyone else. Never even realised we had to virus ourselves.